In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, Advent is a season of holy waiting. We learn from Holy Mother Church how to wait for God. Waiting well is a very important spiritual skill because of the fact that our God moves slowly. Our God is never in a hurry in the things that he does. We can see this is true when we look at the history of the world and the history of the human race and God's providential interventions. And think of the fact that our God, our transcendent God, is outside of time. He sits above all time. He sees all time in one eternal moment. There's no succession in God. There's no before or after in God. St. Peter, in his epistle, he says, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And when we interact with God, when we try to unite ourselves with God, we have to be willing for God to move slowly, for God to be God, to move at the pace that he wants to move at. Today's introit, we say, show, O Lord, thy ways to me, teach me thy paths. His ways are slow. You can see this when we look at, as I say, various interventions of God in the history of mankind. Think about the story of Abraham, where you have Abraham being called by God, and God makes this promise to him, this great promise. You will be the father of many nations. And Abraham believes and accepts that this is going to happen. And meanwhile, he keeps waiting for his wife to conceive and have a child. Because obviously, if he's supposed to be the father of nations, then he's got to have children, right? But his wife remains infertile and even like reaches menopause and goes past the time when she's able to bear children. She's not even able to bear children. 25 years pass and there's no child. And it's at that point, finally, when it's God's time, and he says, your wife is going to have a child next year. There is the story of Moses, and you know how the Pharaoh, the children of Israel were in Egypt for hundreds of years, and a new Pharaoh came into power, and he said, these Israelites, they're getting too numerous. We have to reduce their numbers. So what are we going to do? We're going to tell the midwives that when an Israelite has a male child, that they are to kill this male child. This was the instruction. And of course, the mother of Moses put Moses in the river in a basket, and he was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter who raised him. And so 40 years go by of this situation, of this terrible situation of the children of Israel being enslaved by the Pharaoh. Moses grows up. He kills an Egyptian. He flees into the desert. Another 40 years go by of Moses being in the desert. He marries a wife. He has children and so on. And after this period of 80 years, that's when God says to Moses, I want you to go deliver my people from the Pharaoh. After they've been in this really difficult situation for all that time. And of course, during this season, we think about the coming of our Lord and how the fall happened and God promised a Redeemer. But there was this long period of centuries upon centuries, millennia, where the human race had to wait for the coming of the Messiah. And then when our Lord comes into this world, is he in a hurry to accomplish his mission? It's striking how slowly he acts. He has 30 years at home, leading a hidden life before he starts his public life. So the bottom line, my dear faithful, is that God often waits a long time before acting. This is just the way God is. It's kind of a lesson for us if we're thinking that the end of the world's around the corner. We probably have a time to wait. God's likely not going to act quickly with that as well. But the fact is that we find this characteristic of our God difficult as human beings. We tend to be very impatient as human beings, especially when we want something, and something we really desire. We can be very willful, and we like to be in control of things. And with God, he can't surrender his divinity to us. I mean, God always, in his providence, he has to be the one in control because he's God and we're the creature. We got to chafe against this, especially, as I say, when we're expecting God to do something and he's not doing something. We want what we want, and we want it to happen according to our timetable and not God's timetable. We find it humbling to be forced to wait for God's time. And you know how atheists use the slowness of God as some sort of argument against him. They try to say that, well, where's God? I don't see him acting. It's obvious that there's a God if we just look around at creation. God is actually acting all the time in creation just to sustain creation in existence and provide the incredible design of creation and the running of nature and so on. They don't recognize that. They say, I only recognize God in some extraordinary action, and I don't see him doing that. Whereas the fact is that God only rarely intervenes and acts in an extraordinary way. So they use this as an argument against God. There's this famous play of the 20th century by Samuel Beckett called Waiting for Godot. And in this play, there's just two guys standing by a tree talking, and they're waiting for this guy who they expect is going to save them. This guy named Godot. And the whole play goes on, and the play finishes, and Godot never comes. And this is supposed to be some sort of metaphor about believers in their relation to God. They're waiting for God, and he never delivers because God acts slowly. Again, St. Peter, in his second epistle, he says, he kind of speaks about the mentality of these types. In the last days, there shall come deceitful scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is his promise or his coming? For since the time that the fathers slept, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So, my dear faithful, even for those of us who believe in God and who trust in God and want to follow God's providence, we also can experience this temptation of being impatient with God, of wanting God to intervene in a way that he does not want to. We can get tired of the sameness and routine of our life. This is often what happens as human beings, where we just have this normal routine, and whenever things are habitual and normal, they sort of lose their value in our eyes over time. The fact is that we have so many graces and blessings in our life. We are really spoiled by God. But because we have these blessings all the time, they just become normal for us. And because we have this appetite for novelty and for the extraordinary, if we just have this daily grind over and over again, we can easily become dissatisfied. Let's say we're tempted to become dissatisfied and look for something more sensational in our life, because God is not making our life like a thriller movie. So, because our God likes to wait, it's really important for us to have the ability to savor the ordinary graces in our life, which are super abundant. So during this season, this holy season of Advent, Holy Mother Church wants to teach us how to wait for God, how to be in this virtuous disposition towards God, where we expect something from Him, and we wait patiently for Him to deliver according to His promises. We put ourselves in that mindset of the Old Testament Jews who promised the Messiah. And you think of them, you know, as the centuries go by, and they're all like, well, we believe that the Messiah is going to come. When is He going to come? We don't know. It's been thousands of years. He hasn't come yet. And surely some of them are saying, well, you know, it's been a really long time, and I don't think He's coming. I really don't think it's going to happen. Some of them would have lost faith just because of the timetable, measuring things according to human time instead of God's time. So the liturgy of Advent, it teaches us how to practice a holy waiting, especially in three different ways, where the liturgy teaches us how to anticipate the coming of our Lord. First of all, by practicing penance. So important for us to humble ourselves, to mortify ourselves in relation to God. So we choose some sort of penance during the time of Advent, during this time of waiting, so that we can truly welcome the Son of God. We know that even though the Jews had a ton of waiting time, when the Messiah actually came, it seems like they didn't do a great job waiting because they didn't receive Him well. All the waiting was to prepare them to receive Him, and they didn't receive Him. So we must not be like that. So we keep ourselves in this state of vigilance, watching, humility, patience, and we instill those dispositions through our penances. Secondly, to pray with a great spirit of confidence and anticipation. We must not be that soul that's like gets tired of waiting and has the wrong sort of impatience with God. The liturgy portrays for us, we may say, a holy impatience, where you maintain the same desire. You maintain an intensity of desire for our Lord. You say, I'm a sinner. I really need a Messiah. I really want Him to come. I beg Him to come. And so I keep asking, even though I may have to wait for a long time. And then the third thing is the liturgy teaches us always to maintain hope in the promises of God. God will always deliver in His own time. We don't know when that time is, but He will always deliver. We believe, we maintain belief in God's fidelity. So there's no question of questioning the promises of God and saying, well, the time has been too long, so I just don't think He's coming. So this attitude of Advent that we're taught by the liturgy, it's an attitude that we must put into practice in our own lives. As I say, sometimes we can just become impatient with God, wondering why He doesn't act in a given situation. We say to ourselves, God is infinite. He has all power. I want this thing. It's a good thing. Yet God's not doing anything. Why is that the case? Perhaps it's we're praying for the return of our children to the faith, for the conversion of a family member, for the resolution of the crisis in the church, to get a job, to have a child, to find a spouse. Who knows? Who knows what our intention is? And we keep praying, and we keep waiting for God. And the fact is that the time before our prayers are answered is a time that God gives us to increase in merit and to grow in holiness. God wants to give us time to act. He doesn't want to do everything Himself. He wants to give us a time to pray and to wait, to dispose ourselves for the graces He wants to give us. And so He's patient. He waits before intervening. And we have to use that time well, while having this humble disposition, saying, well, Lord, You get to decide how and when You will intervene in this situation. you know, this time of Advent, it's like a picture of our entire life. Because, I mean, what are we doing in this life? We're waiting for that time when our Lord will call us. There will come a day when our Lord is going to say, come, come. I'm calling you out of this life. And we will appear before him and we will be judged by our Lord. In that sense, this life is a time of waiting. And while we have this time of waiting, our Lord wants to use the time well. He wants us to be vigilant. He wants us to truly anticipate his coming, try to unite ourselves with him, try to do good works, to become holy in this time. This is what this time is given to us for. And he doesn't want to do everything. He wants to give us room to act. And after this life is over, then we will be in God's time. We will be taken out of the flow of the time of this earth, and we will be swimming in that eternity of time, which is the timetable of God. And at that time, this life will seem so short. The time that we pass in this life will seem so short in comparison with that vast ocean of time, which is the time of God. I think this thought helps us to be motivated to live this short life well. So, my dear faithful, especially during this holy time of Advent, this beautiful season, we want to unite ourselves with Our Lady, who is really the model of holy waiting. And we have this succession of generations of the Jews anticipating the coming of the Messiah until you have Our Lady come, and she adds her prayers. It's like her holy prayers, her perfect dispositions are what's kind of invited God and led him to choose to come down from heaven and to come through her. We want to pray like her during this time of Advent. We want to have that same mentality as her. Be united with Our Lady during this time of Advent. Do your penance as well so you can prepare yourself for those great graces that our Lord will definitely bring us on Christmas Day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.